When a major league team wins a championship, you know, think big, World Series, Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, two things tend to happen afterward. First, there's a victory parade. Fans joining with the players like a moving party. Community celebration through the downtown part of the city. Then, usually, comes an invitation to meet the president of our country at the White House, thought of as a great honor. Now imagine that team winning championship year after year after year, a decade's worth. Unheard of, I suppose. But wouldn't they then qualify for that popular label these days? Greatest of all time, which is an acronym spelled GOAT. Greatest of all time, although isn't that usually applied to individual players with a very impressive career of championship performances? Let's turn from the world of sports to something greater, but keep the same focus on a question as our theme today. Who is the greatest champion there could ever be? It has to be Jesus. As told in these words from Colossians 1, reading verses 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Those words boil down to a summary statement, in my opinion. Jesus is number one because he is the best at everything he does. The text points out the work of creation. He's number one in that he made everything there is, and he made it all very well. During Lent, we get to notice how he is especially number one in the work of salvation. In fact, he's in a category by himself as the God-man, the only one qualified to save people, you and me included, from sin, death, and hell. Only Jesus has won for his followers and his fans something much bigger than a championship trophy. He has won for you the prize of eternal life. Christ is number one, even if most people don't agree or they don't understand why it's true. Closer to home, Christ is number one even when we don't give him the number one spot in our hearts and lives. You know how that happens, right? Through our many forms of our own sins, we take Jesus off the pedestal, out of the spotlight, and put ourselves into that place. Don't we need the help of God's word constantly to correct that? To put Jesus back where he belongs, on the pedestal of our hearts, and in the limelight of our constant attention, our joyful admiration and celebration? When Jesus goes first, you are not left behind. Certainly, we do follow behind him, but in a really good position, better than the 50-yard line seat in the stadium or the box seat in the arena. We have the Bible as this special venue to watch the Lord in action as he does some very impressive things for our benefit and for His glory. Putting the Lord first in that way, you act like a very devoted fan. As a fan of one sport or another, one team or another, we know what it's like to be on the edge of our seats waiting for that game-changing play, and then it happens. We stand up and cheer when we see the walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, or the touchdown scored with 2 seconds left, or the game-winning goal in overtime. Turning once again from the world of sports to something greater, let's learn to be more amazed by, more tuned in, more impressed by the gospel of Christ at the center of our attention. We're talking about life and death, after all. Something that impacts your future quite dramatically. Look at the perfect record He had. And He gives it to you. It's your righteousness now. Think about that, as we've done during Lenten services, the agonizing, innocent death on the cross. What a sacrifice! Which, from God's point of view, is your death on the cross. Same effect. The payment for your sin, already done. The certainty of God's forgiveness freely given to you. Look at the empty tomb. What a comeback for the risen Savior. And also the proof of you expecting the same thing for yourselves one day. Yes, be a big fan of the gospel of Christ, and you'll be more than a spectator. You will be part of the greatest winning streak there ever will be. The kind of victory that will not fade over time. The only victory that has changed your life in the greatest way possible. Imagine if our formal worship of the Savior was like a victory parade. We follow behind Him on foot, and we chant in joyous unison, God is number one. Christ is number one. Don't we do that in liturgy, minus the walking, when we sing, all glory be to God on high? We already have a victory chant that we can use in song and other ways. God is number one. Christ is number one. And not just in formal worship. We make Him number one in other ways, privately, through our devotions. When you give the gospel your undivided attention in a class because you know your Savior, your champion, is reaching out to share His victory with you, make Him number one by trusting what He tells you. Because when it comes to promises and assurances, Jesus bats 1,000. Not even a swing and a miss with Him. Make Him number one in your daily prayers as you seek His will, follow His directions, as you repent of your sins, cling to His mercy, and receive wave after wave of blessing. Surely the Lord Himself will help us to see Him and to treat Him as our number one, the greatest champion we could ever have. Amen. We'll close our worship today singing hymn 744 in the worship supplement, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Stanzas 1, 3, and 4, hymn 744.